From the high ground of Texas, it's Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio on this joyous day, my friends, the 24th of June, the year of our Lord, 2022. I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a liberal corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, well, it's the story, period. It matters. We've got other things in the stack. If time allows, we'll get to them. Abortion has long been illegal in Texas, but those laws were unenforceable because of the Supreme Court's weird meddling with the Constitution. That's right. They were unenforceable laws until now. The United States Supreme Court rights a moral wrong, but more importantly, from a standpoint of the details of the decision, corrects a constitutional travesty in reversing Roe versus Wade, which, if you don't know, was a Texas case just 49 years ago. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. You truckers and fleet owners, they're your best choice as a third-party administrator with the Department of Transportation and all the testing regs. Reach the best in compliance at alliedcompliance.com. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at prattontexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. It is a great day to be an American after what has been released from the United States Supreme Court. My friends, I want to begin with details on this story, and I'm going to do something quite different today, even though I'm loaded up with all kinds of commentary on the issue. We'll get to it as we can. I think the most important thing I can do is read you the syllabus, the summary of the decision, leaving out a lot of the citations so it reads well, so that you actually understand, because you're going to be pelted from every side with misinformation. I mean, even our own side's got misinformation out today. I think there was a Breitbart story and several others. Within 30 days from now, abortion will be illegal in Texas because we already had a trigger law and all of this other stuff. No, that's not correct. It'll take more time than that, and I'll get to that. The Attorney General actually sent that out in a directive today. The members of the press failed to read it. But get you the actual details of the case. But before we begin that, this is an extraordinary situation, and I would like to take time here for corporate prayer, for prayer together. And if you're driving or doing something where you cannot join in, that's fine. Don't worry. Just in spirit. But if you can, let's pray together. God, our Father, our Creator, and Creator of all that is, known and unknown, seen and unseen, we praise you this day that you have led our justices of our federal Supreme Court to stand against our sinful secular culture, to reverse the evil decision in Roe versus Wade that claimed that the very document that you inspired, that exists to protect our basic rights, somehow endowed some with the right to take the lives of innocent babies, your creations, for their own convenience, and allowing them to engage in more sexual immorality with fewer consequences. And then the court to claim, Lord, that that was somehow an issue of liberty and equal protection under law. Lord God, we call upon you to keep safe from harm those justices and all others who publicly stand for a society which keeps your law and teaching above all the attempts of man to twist, deform, and ignore such in order to aid our rebellion in sin. Now, Lord, we ask you to strengthen us for the battles ahead to preserve the life of innocent babies. Grant us the wisdom and the perseverance needed to convince the voters of each state to adopt laws that protect the lives of innocent babies to whom you have given a unique soul and life. God, we praise you and we thank you for our very lives and all that we are. We pray in the name of the one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Folks, half the people I've known in a lifetime of activism in the Republican Party came there because of this issue. This has been one of the greatest affronts to our society, this Roe v. Wade decision, and those who support it, and all the institutions who stand to support it. Well, you got the Texas Medical Association out today griping. That's another question now for doctors. It's not just the gun rights stuff. If you're a paying member of the TMA, you may just find yourself without a patient, because I'm not dealing with it. There's such a bunch of leftists. Folks, this decision that wiped out the entire cultural practice of almost all the country, everything about it's been wrong. But taking the morality away from it, it was one of the greatest offenses to the Constitution. And that's why we're going to take the next segments. And if I run out of time and we can't get to the rest of things, fine. Because the Spirit inspired our justices to write, and in this summary of their decision, their opinion, it really makes the case that you need to understand to be able to argue with others. By the way, you can link straight to it from the Supreme Court at my Facebook page, and I'll have it in the show summary for today, the teaser for the show at proudontexas.com. Let's begin. The case was the Dobbs. It was the Dobbs case out of Mississippi. The state health officer of the Mississippi Department of Health, that's his name, that's why he's just the health officer, versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. This is one of these groups that claims to be about health when really they're about killing human beings. And it came through the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and it's about their Gestational Age Act that was stopping abortion after about 15 weeks. Here's what the court held on that specific issue. The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey, and you're going to hear Casey a lot, that's the second big decision in this pro-abortion stuff, okay? Roe and Casey are overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected representatives. You see, that's the basis here. It's our decision through our elected representatives and our legislatures to make these decisions, not the right of judges. All right, let's head through this. Little A, under the holding. The critical question is whether the Constitution, properly understood, confers a right to obtain an abortion. Casey's controlling opinion, that's a case, remember, skipped over that question and reaffirmed Roe solely on the basis of stare decisis. Now, stare decisis you know by another name, and that's simply precedent. A proper application of stare decisis, however, requires an assessment of the strength of the grounds upon which Roe was based. The court therefore turns to the question that the Casey plurality did not consider. One, first, the court reviews the standard that the court's cases have used to determine whether the 14th Amendment's reference to liberty, quote-unquote, protects a particular right. The Constitution makes no express reference to a right to obtain an abortion, but several constitutional provisions have been offered as potential homes for an implicit constitutional right. Roe held that the abortion right is part of a right to privacy that springs from the 1st, 4th, 5th, 9th, and 14th Amendments. The Casey Court grounded its decision solely on the theory that the right to obtain an abortion is part of the liberty protected by the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause. Others have suggested that support can be found in the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause, but that theory is squarely foreclosed by the court's precedents, which establish that a state's regulation of abortion is not a sex-based classification, thus not subject to heightened scrutiny that applies to such classifications. More in a moment.
Brad on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, it's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2 ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks, specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Working to save Texas from the uninformed and the left. It's your voice of Texas, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We continue from the syllabus, the summary of the Supreme Court's decision overturning the Roe case and the Casey case. Remember, Roe v. Wade was a Texas case 49 years ago. Finishing that first part, rather, regulations and prohibitions of abortion are governed by the same standard of review as other health and safety measures, too. Next, the court examines whether the right to obtain an abortion is rooted in the nation's history and tradition, and whether there's an essential component of ordered liberty. That's in quotes, ordered liberty. The court finds that the right to abortion is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition. The underlying theory on which Casey rested, that the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause provides substantive as well as procedural protection for liberty, quote-unquote, has long been controversial. The court's decisions have held that the Due Process Clause protects two categories of substantive rights, those rights guaranteed by the first 8 amendments to the Constitution, and those rights deemed fundamental that are not mentioned anywhere in the Constitution. In deciding whether a right falls into either of these categories, the question is whether the right is, quote, deeply rooted in our history and tradition, and whether it's essential to this nation's scheme of ordered liberty. The term liberty alone provides little guidance. Thus, historical inquiries are essential when the court is asked to recognize a new component of the liberty interest protected by the Due Process Clause. In interpreting what is meant by liberty, the court must guard against the natural human tendency to confuse what the 14th Amendment protects with the court's own ardent views about the liberty that Americans should enjoy. For this reason, the court has been reluctant to recognize rights that are not mentioned in the Constitution. Guided by the history and tradition that map the essential components of the nation's concept of ordered liberty, the court finds the 14th Amendment clearly does not protect the right to an abortion. Until the latter part of the 20th century, there was no support in American law for a constitutional right to obtain an abortion. No state constitutional provision had recognized such a right. Until a few years before Roe, no federal or state court had recognized such a right, nor had any scholarly treatise. Indeed, abortion had long been a crime in every single state. At common law, abortion was criminal in at least some stages of pregnancy and was regarded as unlawful and could have very serious consequences at all stages. American law followed the common law until a wave of statutory restrictions in the 1800s expanded criminal liability for abortions. By the time the 14th Amendment was adopted, 3/4 of the states had made abortion a crime at any stage of pregnancy. This consensus endured until the day Roe v. Wade was decided. Roe either ignored or misstated this history, and Casey, the later decision, declined to reconsider Roe's faulty historical analysis. Respondents' argument that this history does not matter flies in the face of the standard the court has applied in determining whether an asserted right that is nowhere mentioned in the Constitution is nevertheless protected by the 14th Amendment. The Solicitor General repeats Roe's claim that it is, quote, doubtful abortion was ever firmly established as a common law crime, even with respect to the destruction of a quick fetus. By the way, when you hear the word quick and quickening, that, with all respect to Art Bell, the late Art Bell in his book, quickening actually is like showing signs of life. You know, is in the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. Quickening is a process showing life, so you understand that. But the great common law authorities, Bracton, Koch, Hale, and Blackstone, all wrote that a post-quickening abortion was a crime. In other words, post-signs of life, once you knew you were pregnant. Moreover, many authorities asserted that even a pre-quickening abortion was unlawful, and that as a result, an abortionist was guilty of murder if the woman died from the attempt. The Solicitor General suggests that history supports an abortion right because of the common law's failure to criminalize abortion before quickening, but the insistence on quickening was not universal. And regardless, the fact that many states in the late 18th and 19th century did not criminalize pre-quickening abortions does not mean that anyone thought the states lacked the authority to do so. Instead of seriously pressing the argument that the abortion right itself has deep roots, supporters of Roe and Casey contend that the abortion right is an integral part of a broader entrenched right. Roe termed this a right to privacy, and Casey described it as the freedom to make, quote, intimate and personal choices, end quote, that are, quote, central to personal dignity and autonomy, end quote. Ordered liberty sets limits and defines the boundary between competing interests. Roe and Casey each struck a particular balance between the interest of a woman who wants an abortion and the interest of what they termed, quote, potential life, end quote. But the many people of the various states may evaluate those interests differently. The nation's historical understanding of ordered liberty does not prevent the people's elected representatives from deciding how abortion should be regulated. 3. Finally, the court considers whether a right to obtain an abortion is part of a broader entrenched right that is supported by other precedents. The court concludes the right to obtain an abortion cannot be justified as a component of such a right. Attempts to justify abortion through appeals to a broader right to autonomy and to define one's, quote, concept of existence, end quote, prove too much. That's from the Casey decision. Those criteria at a high level of generality could license fundamental rights to illicit drug use, prostitution, and the like. By the way, I want to interrupt right here. That's a key little portion of this decision, because if you actually step back, you'll understand what the left is all about. That's exactly what they want. That a license to fundamental right to engage in any and all sin possible, no matter how it hurts others. Just saying. Back to the summary. What sharply distinguishes the abortion right from the rights recognized in the cases on which Roe and Casey rely is something that both those decisions acknowledged. Abortion is different because it destroys what Roe termed, quote, potential life, end quote, and what the law challenged in this case calls an unborn human being. That's what the law said. It was the Texas law. None of the other decisions cited by Roe and Casey involved the critical moral question opposed by abortion. Accordingly, those cases do not support the right to obtain an abortion, and the court's conclusion that the Constitution does not confer such a right does not undermine them in any way. In other words, the constitutional issues are separate from the moral issues. Moral issues are something for us to sort out through our Republican processes. B, this is a little B there. The doctrine of stare decisis, remember that's precedent, does not counsel continued acceptance of Roe and Casey. By the way, you hear this all over today from the pro-abort. Well, they broke precedent. Precedent is the law. No, it isn't. Precedent is not. Stare decisis plays an important role and protects the interest of those who have taken action in reliance on a past decision. It, quote, reduces incentives for challenging settled precedent, saving parties and courts the expense of endless litigation, end quote. It contributes to the actual and perceived integrity of the judicial process, and it restrains judicial hubris by respecting the judgment of those who grappled with important questions in the past. But precedent, or stare decisis, is not an inexorable command and is at its weakest when the court interprets the Constitution. Some of the court's most important constitutional decisions have overruled prior precedents. Think you liberals, Brown versus Board of Education, getting rid of Jim Crow and integrating the schools, or Jim Crow itself, Plessy versus Ferguson. These decisions have been overturned in the past. We don't hear the liberals say, well, those were precedent and they were in place for decades and decades. You see how it works. The court's cases have identified factors that should be considered in deciding when a precedent should be overruled. And five factors discussed next, weigh strongly in favor of overruling Roe versus Casey. This is an important thing to cover, and we're going to do it. Because I think you all are smart enough to enjoy it. A lot of people in the business say, don't do all this. I think you understand it. And you need to know how to answer these people back, because they're going on and on about precedent right now in the press today. Back in a moment.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica. Dr. Silvio Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvio Zuniga works. Silvio's practice is purposely small and personal, with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Communication's a top priority with commercial builder Tommy Klein Construction. A 20-year-plus Tommy Klein Construction customer said, when we call, text, or email, the majority of the time we get a response back within the hour. Many times they call us before we have a question with updates on our projects. And with Tommy Klein Construction, if there's a need for an adjustment or warranty, they give it top priority as if it were their own building. Tommy Klein Construction, general commercial building contractors. Reach them, 806-438-3384, 806-438-3384.
You are in the right place at the right time for news and commentary of Texas from the right perspective. It's Robert Pratt with the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I am reading you the syllabus, the summary of the Supreme Court's decision that in effect overturned Roe and Casey and puts abortion laws back to the states. They're talking about this subject of precedents, which you'll hear every and all these media stories, the pro-abort stuff. Well, they broke precedent. Number one, these are the reasons why way in favor of overruling Roe and Casey, even though there was a precedent. One, the nature of the court's error. Like the infamous decision in Plessy versus Ferguson, Roe was also egregiously wrong and on a collision course with the Constitution from the day it was decided. Casey perpetuated its errors, calling both sides of the national controversy to resolve their debate, but in doing so, Casey necessarily declared a winning side. Those on the losing side, those who sought to advance the state's interest in fetal life, could no longer seek to persuade their elected representatives to adopt policies consistent with their views. The court short-circuited the democratic process by closing it to the large number of Americans who disagreed with Roe. Number two, the quality of the reasoning. Without any grounding in the constitutional text, history, or precedent, Roe imposed on the entire country a detailed set of rules for pregnancy divided into trimesters, much like those that one might expect to find in a statute or regulation. In other words, in a law passed by legislature. Roe's failure even to note the overwhelming consensus of state laws in effect in 1868 is striking, and what it said about the common law was simply wrong. Then, after surveying history, the opinion spent many paragraphs conducting the sort of fact-finding that might be undertaken by a legislative committee and did not explain why the sources on which it relied shed light on the meaning of the Constitution. As to precedent, citing a broad array of cases, the court found support for a constitutional right, or a constitutional, quote, right of personal privacy, or privacy, end quote. But Roe conflated the right to shield information, in other words, privacy, the right to shield information from disclosure. It conflated that with the right to make and implement important personal decisions without governmental interference. None of these decisions involved what is distinctive about abortion, its effect on what Roe termed potential life. When the court summarized the basis for this scheme, the scheme it imposed on the country, it asserted that its rules were consistent with, among other things, the relative weights of the respective interests involved and the demands of the profound problems of the present day. These are precisely the sort of considerations that legislative bodies often take into account when they draw lines that accommodate competing interests. The scheme Roe produced looked like legislation, and the court provided the sort of explanation that might be expected from a legislative body. An even more glaring deficiency was Roe's failure to justify the critical distinction it drew between pre- and post-viability abortions. The arbitrary viability line, which Casey termed Roe's central rule, has not found much support among philosophers and ethicists who have attempted to justify a right to abortion. The most obvious problem with any such argument is that viability has changed over time and is heavily dependent on factors such as medical advances and the availability of quality medical care that have nothing to do with the characteristics of a fetus. When Casey revisited Roe almost 20 years later, it reaffirmed Roe's central holding, but pointedly refrained from endorsing most of its reasoning. Because it was indefensible, I'm adding that. The court abandoned any reliance on a privacy right and instead grounded the abortion right entirely in the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause. The controlling opinion criticized and rejected Roe's trimester scheme and substituted a new and obscure undue burden test. Casey, in short, either refused to reaffirm or rejected important aspects of Roe's analysis, failed to remedy glaring deficiencies in Roe's reasoning, endorsed what it termed Roe's central holding while suggesting that a majority might not have thought it was correct, provided no new support for the abortion right other than Roe's status as precedent, and imposed a new test with no firm grounding in constitutional text, history, or precedent. 3. Workability. Deciding whether a precedent should be overruled depends in part on whether the rule it imposes is workable, that is, whether it can be understood and applied in a consistent and predictable manner. Casey's undue burden test is scored poorly on the workability scale. The Casey plurality tried to put meaning into the undue meaning test by setting out 3 subsidiary rules, but these rules created their own problems, and the difficulty of applying Casey's new rules surfaced in that very case. Casey's generated a long list of circuit court conflicts. Continued adherence to Casey's unworkable undue burden test would undermine, not advance, the even-handed, predictable, and consistent development of legal principles. In other words, the workability. 4, effect on other areas of law. Roe and Casey have led to the distortion of many important but unrelated legal doctrines, and that effect provides further support for overruling those decisions. 5, reliance interests. Overruling Roe and Casey will not upend concrete reliance interests like those that develop in cases involving property and contract rights. In Casey, the controlling opinion conceded that traditional reliance interests were not implicated because getting an abortion is generally, quote, unplanned activity, and reproductive planning can take virtually immediate account of any sudden restoration of state authority to ban abortions. Instead, the opinion perceived a more intangible form of reliance, namely that people had organized intimate relationships and made choices that defined their views of themselves and their places in society in reliance on the availability of abortion in the event that contraception should fail, end quote, and that the ability of women to participate equally in the economic and social life of the nation has been facilitated by their ability to control their reproductive lives. May I insert here, that's part of the absurdity of all of this from the left. You control your reproductive rights when you decide to have sex or not, or I guess with birth control, not later after the fact anyway. The contending sides in this case make impassioned and conflicting arguments about the effects of the abortion right on the lives of women as well as the status of the fetus. The Casey's plurality's speculative attempt to weigh the relative importance of the interest of the fetus and the mother's represent and the mother represent a departure from the original constitutional proposition that courts do not substitute their social and economic beliefs for the judgment of legislative bodies. The Solicitor General suggests that overruling Roe and Casey would threaten the protection of other rights under the Due Process Clause. The court emphasizes that this decision concerns the constitutional right to abortion and no other right. Nothing in this opinion should be understood to cast doubt on precedents that do not concern abortion. Little C. Casey identified another concern, namely the danger that the public will perceive a decision overruling a controversial watershed decision such as Roe as influenced by political considerations or public opinion. Let me insert here, isn't that absurd? Because that ruling itself was influenced by political opinion. But here's what they write. But the court cannot allow its decisions to be affected by such extraneous concerns. A precedent of this court is subject to the usual principles of stare decisis, under which adherence to precedent is the norm, but not an inexorable command. If the rule were otherwise, erroneous decisions like Plessy versus Ferguson would still be the law, meaning segregation. The court's job is to interpret the law, apply longstanding principles of stare decisis, and decide this case accordingly. Little B, little D. Under the court's precedents, rational basis review is appropriate standard to apply when state abortion regulations undergo constitutional challenge. Given that procuring an abortion is not a fundamental constitutional right, it follows that the states may regulate abortion for legitimate reasons. And when such regulations are challenged under the Constitution, and that's all going to be coming, folks, state by state, courts cannot substitute their social and economic beliefs for the judgment of legislative bodies. That applies even when the laws at issue concern matters of great social significance and moral substance. A law regulating abortion, like other health and welfare laws, is entitled to a strong presumption of validity. It must be sustained if there's a rational basis on which the legislature could have thought that it would serve a legitimate state interest. And then they say Mississippi's act did serve that. And they say abortion presents a profound moral question. And I want to talk about that, and we're at the end of the summary. We're going to talk about that and more when we return on Pratt on Texas. Stay with us, my good friends, on this glorious day.
Patience is a virtue. Pratt on Texas continues after this.
Make your home, office, or workshop comfortable in both hot summer and cold winter with an energy-efficient ductless AC and heating unit from Hart Heating and AC.
The True Texan Studios uber comfortable with a Hart Heating and AC installed ductless unit, and the energy efficiency as well as ease of installation made it the best upgrade I've made in years.
Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Beat the heat and the cold with a ductless system. Hart, H-A-R-T, heatingandac.com.
License DACLA 1229 OE.
It's an Abilene Sunday tradition. Mouth-watering fried chicken and chicken fried steak. Fabulous veggies served family style with yeast rolls and unbeatable homemade desserts. All from Pratt's favorite, Bell's Chicken Dinner House at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene. Bell's Chicken Dinner House serves you fantastic fresh food every Thursday through Saturday for lunch and dinner. And on Sunday, it's the perfect traditional after-church lunch. The catfish is fantastic, too. Visit Bell's Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
At Thacker Jewelry, we believe in hometown service. When you walk through our doors, we want you to feel welcome and at home. An incredible story lives inside each and every piece of jewelry at Thacker's. As a West Texas jeweler, we want to help you express your love and your feeling for your family, for your loved ones, and for the generations to come.
Hello, what do you say? It's a Thacker Jewelry kind of day.
A big thank you to USA Investigations, who sponsors our Look at Texas History each day. They provide professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements, and much more, including security. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. That's usainvestigations.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Texas political swami. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas on this day that the United States Supreme Court has struck down Roe versus Wade and then the Casey case that followed 20 years later. The last little bit I want to mention in this, the syllabus from the Supreme Court today, you can read that. The link's at my Facebook, and it's at prattontexas.com in today's show summary. I just want to get this last little part, little e. Abortion presents a profound moral question. The Constitution does not prohibit the citizens of each state from regulating or prohibiting abortion. Roe and Casey arrogated that authority. The court overrules these decisions and returns that authority to the people and their elected representatives. So no matter what you hear from the screeching left at every turn, and remember, the left owns most of our institutions now, whether it be calm and rather insidious and very sneaky, or the screechings you're hearing today and over the next, you know, many months. Remember this. All the U.S. Supreme Court did today was rectify a constitutional error and hand the power back to the people. That includes the lefties, the Democrats, all of us. That is the decision that was made, because this was the fundamental, horrific mistake, in effect, of Roe versus Wade. The court acted, and that's why they talked all about how it looked like a legislature, it sounded like a legislature. The court acted as a legislature and took the decisions out of the hands of the people. Well, Robert, isn't that good? Well, no, because that's not an expressed right. Those rights that are expressed in the Constitution were voted on by the people, and it took a long time to pass them. It's very hard to pass a constitutional amendment. Getting the Bill of Rights passed, getting the Constitution passed required great coming together and compromise amongst the people. That's how issues get settled in a republic. They don't get settled by dictatorial, tyrannical rule. Now you say, well, Robert, you support this gun rights. Well, yeah, but the gun right, that right to keep and bear arms, is expressed specifically in the Constitution. The right to abortion is not. Nothing around it, surrounding it is. And that was the whole discussion and why I read it to you. They just found all these things in other parts of the Constitution, but they don't stand scrutiny. And most legal scholars who are honest, including a lot of liberals that were pro-abortion, have for my entire life admitted that Roe versus Wade was one of the most ridiculous, horrific judicial rulings just from a legal standpoint. 49 years ago, it was the Texas case against Texas law. Now, there are a lot of things saying abortion, because Texas has a trigger law, is going to be outlawed in 90 days. Let me read you a key part of the Attorney General's advisory today. Oh, by the way, late in the afternoon, the press got all upset and started writing. It was something he announced early that he's so happy about all this, he's given the Attorney General's office people the day off to celebrate life as a holiday. So they're going crazy. The stuff they care about, it's just so amazing to me. All right, here we go. Today, the court issued its opinion reversing Roe, but it has yet to issue its judgment. A judgment is a legal document distinct from the court's opinion. The court will issue its judgment only after the window for the litigants to file a motion for rehearing has closed. A judgment can issue in about a month or longer if the court considers a motion for rehearing. So while it is clear that the act will take effect, meaning Texas, we cannot calculate exactly when until the court issues its judgment. My office will publicly announce an effective date for the act as soon as possible, and we look forward to doing so. And you're going to see lots of things like the big headline at Breitbart today. Texas ban on abortions from moment of conception set to start in 30 days. Remember, this was already the law of the land back under Democrats. We never withdrew this law. Some states did. Now, one thing about once the new act in Texas takes effect, the Attorney General addresses that. But he says, what's more, I don't want to get into that. He says, what's more, some prosecutors may simply choose to immediately pursue criminal prosecutions based on violations of Texas abortion prohibitions predating Roe that were never repealed by the legislature. In other words, that's the law of the land. Never stopped being the law of the land. Enforcement was simply enjoined by the Roe v. Wade decision. Although these statutes were unenforceable while Roe was on the books, they are still Texas law. Under these pre-Roe statutes, abortion providers could be criminally liable for providing abortion starting today. Okay, do you understand that? Because women were never, despite all the shrieking you're going to hear, even in the old days, the laws did not penalize the women. It penalized those who did the abortion, the doctors and or abortionists and whomever else in worked on that. I really did like the statement of vote. I read a lot of people's statements. The governor's statement is a little bit disappointing. He's all for it, but it's a campaign piece. He's just talking about all that he's done to spend money for the welfare state. I kid you not. Texas has prioritized supporting women's health care and expectant mothers in need and giving them necessary resources so they can choose life. I signed laws that extended Medicaid health coverage to 6 months postpartum, appropriated $345 million for women's health programs, invested more than $100 million toward our alternatives to abortion program. And he goes on. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's statement was quite better. Said today is a tremendous day for life. The U.S. Supreme Court decision in the Dobbs case adheres to the Constitution and returns the decision on abortion back to the states. Because of our trigger bill that we passed last year, in 30 days abortion will be banned in Texas. I thank God for delivering us this day, and I'm so proud that Texas has taken the lead to ensure that such evil can no longer live in our state. Well, Ken, if we are overridden by the majority, and that's what we're going to be discussing in coming days. I have a lot to say about that. There's a lot of concern that this issue is... See, this is what the court did in Roe. It created this chasm in the country so that you weren't allowed to settle the issue little by little, state by state, initiative by initiative. And so it's one of the most unifying and energizing, motivating factors out there. This could pose a whole, usher in an entirely new era in Republican politics in Texas by forcing us to actually truly fight, either change the party to where it's not so pro-life and wants to go along with all these exceptions and all these other abortion light, which is still murdering the baby. There's a lot to discuss. We'll discuss that in coming days. Odessa's mayor, Hovan, had a great statement. I liked it. The justices got it right. Abortion is an issue for the state to decide. And I'm proud to say in Texas, our strong pro-life laws will soon go into effect, effectively outlawing the evil practice of abortion, a practice that has taken so many innocent lives over many decades. Today, I intend to issue a proclamation declaring our Children's Right to Life Day and dedicate this day in remembrance of the over 64 million lives lost in abortion. And I call on our fellow cities and elected officials to join us and stand for life in recognizing this landmark ruling. That's the great new mayor of Odessa. The headlines around Texas, pretty clear. Texas Medical Association is upset. They're unwavering in its stance against intrusions by government or other third parties. Isn't it funny how they support big government on vaccines and all kinds of stuff? But on this, here's a collection of headlines, all from the Texas Tribune. Doctors report compromising care out of fear of Texas abortion law. Really, caring for whom? Not caring? Is it caring to be there to murder the living child? Oh, well. With the end of Roe, Texans will have to travel long distances for legal abortions. You know, you don't read much of the state's media, but in the last week or two, there have been massive feature stories in the big state newspapers about, oh, this person, that person who had to, oh my gosh, they had to grow all the way to New Mexico or somewhere. Really? Why don't you feel sorry for the baby that was murdered in the womb? That's a human being that was murdered. Oh, no. Abortions in Texas have stopped after Attorney General Ken Paxton said pre-Roe bans could be in effect, clinics say. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can't have one more baby with this man. Some domestic violence victims see abortion as a vital option that would be lost post-Roe. And here's their summary. Advocates say abortion has often been the safest option for many experiencing intimate partner violence. How about leaving the partnership? Had you ever considered that? No. Folks, this is a glorious day. Thank your Lord God for it, and get ready to fight that we do the right thing the right way through our state legislatures. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.